know. Like I said, for years, I bought into it, you know. Never going to be this, never going to be that. I never thought in a million, billion, trillion years that I would be on this stage, behind this pulpit, preaching to you fine people or anybody else, ever. You know, like Moses, I was a terrible speaker. So I'm like, are you kidding me speaking? Like, I got nervous just speaking, talking to girls in high school. You know, like, I got nervous. I'm like, I don't want to go talk to her. You go talk to her. You go talk to her. You know, I was nervous. That was me. You know, I had a seventh grade presentation one time. I remember this like it was yesterday. I had a seventh grade presentation one time, and the teacher said, oh, I want everybody to make a, you know, paper mache animal out of whatever, it's biology class or something like that. Make a paper mache animal. So my dad helped me, my parents helped me. Looked good, looked nice. Then it was like, okay, and you got to stand up and present that to the class. And I'm like, my class was about 20 people. I'm like, no way I'm doing that. I'm not, I said, can I record it and then play it for the people or send it? You know, I'm not getting up, talking to nobody. No. And they said, no, you have to do it like that. And I'm just the whole time shaking and just so nervous and I can't do this. And, you know, with stutter, you know. But God can use your weakness. That was my weakness. Excuse me. God can use your weakness for his greatness. You know, for his sovereign plan. Nothing is too huge of an obstacle to cross the climb for him. You know, so don't let the haters, that's what I call them. I call them haters. Don't let the haters or haters driven by demonic work of Satan, because that's who's behind it anyways, to deceive you with lies that you're not good enough, that you're not holy enough, you're not perfect enough to be used by God. You know, well, you know what, somebody tell you that, just be like, well, not nobody in the Bible was perfect, you know, what, to be used by God. I mean, look at this, the awful and dirty stuff they did, and these was God's people. So he says, it's only one that's perfect, and that's me. That's what God says. Only Jesus is perfect. And thank God that I don't have to be. You know, I'm thankful that I don't have to be. I can follow the one who is perfect. I don't have to try to be perfect. I follow the one who is perfect. You know, my family, they always tell me, oh, you're trying to be perfect. You're trying to be perfect. You're trying to this. I'm not trying to be perfect. Trust me. I have the same struggles that you do. The difference is I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven, and I'm trying to walk in that. You know, I don't sin because, you know, for God, you know, he strike me down or anything, you know, he's always watching, so, no, we do it because we love him, you know, I don't want to hurt him, you know, because of the price that he paid for us on the cross, I don't want to hurt him by doing the stuff that I do over and over again. I just want to walk in obedience, you know, Shema, I want to listen and I want to obey what God is telling me to do. I want to just hear it and not put it to practice, put it to action. I want to do something about it because of what he did for me. Because he went to that much, that extent. That's how great his love is. Philippians 4, 12 and 13 says, and we can read this one aloud on the board too, if that's okay, if you don't mind. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I put in bold that part because that's the most important part. Not through myself, you know, not through myself, not through us, but through Christ, and it's his strength that empowers me. You know, Paul got that. It's his strength that empowers me to, you know, that's working in me to do good. You know, Paul knew troubles. You know, the Lord said he would suffer many things for his name's sake, but Paul didn't cry about it. He didn't walk around with his head down, you know. He didn't grumble to himself like a lot of us do. Sad but true. A lot of us do that. He said, no matter what, I will not give up so easily. I won't say never. You know, he said, I'll never say never because he trusted in the Lord. said, I know what it is to have, whether I have a lot, whether I have a little. You know what? I'm going to still remain faithful to Jesus. I'm going to remain faithful to him because of what he did for me. Doesn't matter, you know, whether I have a lot, whether I have a little. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to run my head down. I'm going to trust and rely on his strength to give me this power. I know I'm weak. Paul knew he was weak. We know we're weak, but it's not us. You know, it's all in him. Somebody say, well, how was you able to do that? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, God did something in me, and he's changing me, and, you know, it's all him. You know, God does this stuff, and he wants to show his power and our weakness so that he can get exalted, so that he can get praised, so that the worship can go to him, so we can point to him and says, my God did that. And he says, thank you for being a servant of mine. Paul also said, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Paul's writings, most of his epistles were from prison. They were prison epistles. I don't know about you, but I don't like prison. I don't know if I can go to prison. You know, I'd rather pass, you know. Hope God don't test me and try to send me there, you know. But, you know, I'm too pretty for prison. You know, look, I'm too pretty for prison. So, you know, no, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But we pray against struggles and turmoil when Paul was content with it. You know, we pray against those things. You know, Lord, don't bring trouble my way. Just bring blessings my way. Just bring, keep blessing me with things. You know, we think God is Santa Claus. Keep giving me gifts, God. I don't want, you know, I pray against bad spirit. You know, a lot of times I pray against that spirit. That spirit is from the devil. When we go through struggles, that spirit is from the devil. Now, sometimes God is testing us. You know, he was testing Paul. He wanted to see, are we going to remain faithful to him? Are we going to still love him regardless of whatever? You know, if we lose everything, even if we lose everything, the point, all the apostles, most of them, lost their life for the gospel, you know? Are we going to remain faithful when trouble comes our way, when things start coming, when things start getting hard, when the weights start getting too much for us to bear? Are we going to say, through all things I can do through Christ who strengthens me? Are we going to recognize that as his strength? Or are we going to walk around with our heads down, crying about him, open about it, and missing out on opportunities to go, to witness, to share the gospel with people? So believe, in your weakness, Christ's strength will be exalted, will be revealed through us if we remain faithful, if we trust him. And I ask you today, do you trust him? Do you trust him? When your past comes knocking on the door, will you answer so easily? Okay, just come right in, you know, just, you're welcome. Will we say, just answer the door and let him in so easily, or will we rebuke that past and say, that's not me anymore. I rebuke that past, that's not me anymore. You can't come in here, you're not welcome here. You know, Moses had to do this. He had to do this if he was going to move forward. He had to make risk for ministry. Don't we all have to make risk for ministry? You know, you don't think his past came back around the corner knocking on the door? Moses, let me in. You know you want to do this. You know you want to do that. My past came knocking on my door. Donovan, you know you want to go around and get high with your homeboys. You know you want to go get drunk and go to this party. You know you want to sleep with this girl, sleep with that girl. You know you want to do this. You want to do that. And I had to. That was a battle within me, within my flesh. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I don't want to do that anymore. You know what? Thought about it, but nah, I'm okay. Because following Jesus is so much more worth it. It's so much more worth it. I mean, I can put down that bottle, you know. I can put down that joint, you know. I can move past that. I can move forward. Trust me, Christ is so much better. So much better. He fills that void. We only get drunk and get high only to fill an empty void within us. If we can be honest with ourselves, I mean, that's what I did. I had to fill the empty I needed to fill an empty void. And we do the same thing. When we have Christ and all of him, that void is filled and full. Doesn't mean our past is going to try to come back around. Doesn't mean temptation is going to try to come back around. It will come back around. But when it comes back around, don't open the door. Just, I leave you at the door. I left you in the past years ago. And that's not me anymore. Moses said, that's not me anymore. You're a murderer. You think you can lead the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery? Yeah, right, you're a murderer. No, I'm not a murderer. I'm not. That's not me anymore. So don't let your past haunt you. Day and night, it will try to haunt us. Day and night, day and night. Don't let it haunt us. Pursue God. You know, you may have a long road ahead of you. Pursue God. You know, with every puzzle piece, I can puzzle it just a little bit. I don't have to try to get, I'm gonna skip these steps so I can get to perfection. We never get to perfection until we're there. But that's why we got to puzzle it just a little bit. Don't skip the process and just jump and say, oh, I just got saved. Now I'm going to just jump and be a theologian overnight. No, it doesn't work like that. It's okay to take it piece at a time. Be patient. You know, God's patient with us. Take time. It's slow. Take time to grow. Take time to mature. You'll end up the finished picture. You'll end up the finished product. You will get there. We all will get there. No rush. No need to rush. You know, not just 1,000 confusing pieces out of order, you know, but a complete picture. God's the one behind, you know, he's the one puzzling our picture. He's creating our picture. He's, you know, doing that for us over time. I want to read this 2009 article of a player's perceived, you know, scouting record of his perceived weaknesses. You know, this is pre-draft. Here's what they said. Number one, he's not a true point guard. Number two, out of control at times. Number three, shot selection questionable. Number four, stuck between one and two. So they saying, oh, he can only be a point guard or a shooting guard. That's it. He can't be, you know, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. He can just play all the positions, just dominate the court. No, he's only stuck between one and two. Number five, ability to defend position at next level. Questionable. Number six, limited upside. Questionable. Number seven, backup fringe starter. Number eight, college makes him difficult to evaluate. So he went to a smaller, you know, school. So they're like, since he went to a smaller school, we don't know if he's going to make it, you know, that far. He's not going to go that far. He comes from this little small, you know, podunk school, or, you know, that it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. Number nine, average athleticism. Average. Average. Number 10, average size. Average. Like I said, he's no Michael Jordan. He's no LeBron James. He's no freak athlete. Number 11, average wingspan. Number 12, frail frame. I mean, he's too skinny. It's kind of like me when I was in high school. Too skinny for sports. He's too skinny. He's going to get dominated on the court. Are you kidding me? You really think he's going to go anywhere or do anything? Okay, he might make it as a backup, you know, player or something like that, a bench warmer maybe. But he's not going to go far. No way he's going to ever do anything, was what the scouts thought of him, you know, the critics. Number 13, relies too much on outside shot. Too much on outside shot. This is how the critics and the haters, evaluated him. But y'all, Steph Curry is doing all right in the NBA. He's doing all right. 34.78 million U.S. dollars. He played a total of 574 games his entire career, averaging a scoring record of 28.1 points per game in this year in the NBA Finals. You know, his scoring record went down some because they had to bring KD, you know, in. But I'm not bitter about it. You know, we won a championship. You know, I love the Golden State Warriors, me and my wife, so I'm saying we won. Two. Okay, amen to that. Amen to that. That is definitely true. So I'm not bitter about it. They brought KD, and I like KD. I'm like, okay, at first I'm like, man, he going to mess up the team chemistry. You know, me and my wife was talking about, like, he's going to mess things up. Why don't he just stay in Oklahoma, you know, Thunder, and play and try to help Westbrook out? You know, God knows they need the help. But he came over, and he thought it was best to go and stay. So I'm okay with that. And they won their second championship ring, KD's first. So, I mean, what do y'all think? By y'all definition, two beautiful kids – two beautiful kids Steph Curry has, and a $3.2 million East Bay home. Go to that next slide. What does it sound like to y'all? It sound like he's, you know, like the critics said about him. It sound like he's struggling. It sound like he's a backup player. It sound like he ain't gonna make it. He gonna go. I give him about a year in the NBA. Okay. Y'all, he made it. I think I heard that he made 3 All-Star appearances, 4, something like that. Was it 3? 4? 3. His rookie year made it to the All-Star game, 3-point contest. Rookie year. Most rookies don't even do that. You know, when the haters doubted him, said he could never do it, he said, to quote Justin Bieber, and I don't like Justin Bieber, but I'm going to quote Justin Bieber and say, never say never. Steph Curry did it. Prove the haters wrong. You know, I want to tell you today, church, don't follow what the haters say. Satan is a hater, the biggest one of them all. He'll tell you you'll never amount to anything. You're too small. You're too short. Look at what Satan was trying to whisper in Steph Curry's past. Yeah, you think you're going to ever go anywhere in the NBA? Okay, yeah, right. You're just going to, you know, you may have been a star at Davidson, but you're not going to be the star in the NBA. You're not going to dominate and be the lead scorer and player in the, you know, with the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, right. MVP, thank you. I love seeing, Golden State fans and Steph Curry fans, you know. I love it, you know. I'm a big fan. As you can tell, I'm a huge fan. But do not listen to that. Do not listen to those lies. Or you'll always be listening to them. You'll never go anywhere. Steph Curry just listened to the lies. He would have never went anywhere. Oh, okay, read the, the scouting report. Look, Dad, they saying I'm this, they saying I'm that. I'm just going to, graduate college and maybe I'll get an ordinary job. I'm done with basketball. No, he said, whatever. I ignore what the haters say. I ignore what other people say. I ignore what Satan, definitely what he says. God's word says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Psalm 139:14. God made us, predestined us to live holy and be the light in the darkness. Remember that Moses didn't know that he had it in him. He didn't know that at first. He was doubting. He was just saying, well, God, what about this? Well, God, what about that? I'm not a good speaker. Why don't you send that person over there? God, you sure you want to send me? Are you positive? I know you perfect and, you may know everything, but you sure you know this? You sure you 100% about this? Because I'm not the right guy for the job. I'm just tell you that now. God says, got angry and says, I'm sending you. Go. God still used him to free his people from Egyptian slavery. Not all of us are called to such extreme ministries, but we are called to some kind of ministry. All of us. We're not called to just sit in our chair and never move. Just go to church and that's it. Oh, that was such a good word Sunday. That was such a good word. Okay, what are you going to do with the rest of the week? What are you going to do with the rest of the week? I'll come back Sunday again, and good word again. Sunday, driving, road rage, flicking people off, driving crazy, and cursing people out and doing all this. And then Sunday, I'm back in church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a good word, You got to put it to work. Whatever you, Shema, right? Shema, what you hear, obey it. What you listen and obey my words. Keep the covenant, Leviticus is all, it shows God's holiness, It reflects how sinful people are, and it reflects how holy God is, They got the covenant to say that, man, it was supposed to be a mirror to say that, you can't keep these. You can't. Don't even try. Because you can't. Because I'm sending somebody who will fulfill this. I'm sending somebody who will fulfill those laws. Trust in him. Use your secular job an occupation to reach the lost. That's what you're there for. That's what God put you there for. For the longest, I thought, man, I'm just at this, because I don't have many jobs. I didn't, you know, have a lot of jobs. Sometimes it's kind of embarrassing, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But I had many jobs, and I would say, well, God, why am I here? Like, I'm supposed to be somewhere, you know, preaching. I'm supposed to, this is before I even knew that, you know, this was my calling. You know, I'm supposed to be somewhere doing something. I just feel like this isn't churchy. Like, you know, I'm at my job. I can't help anybody by working in a factory. I can't help anybody working in a factory. I can't help anybody working in a restaurant. Yes, you can. You can help somebody working in those places. God doesn't call everybody to do what I'm doing, to be a pastor, quote unquote, or to be some kind of theologian or Bible scholar. You know, sometimes he just calls you to just love people right where you are. Reach people in that way. You know, trust me, believe, this isn't the only way that you can reach people. Behind the pulpit, you know, it's not the only way. You can reach people at your jobs. You can reach people just going to the park, taking kids to the park, going to this, doing that. It's all about building relationships. Jesus with the, you know, Samaritan woman, relationships, talk. He built that. He worked on that first. Then later on, he had spiritual conversations with her. That's what we're called to do. Don't just, you know, when I first got saved, I was like, you know, my brother was like, oh, you think you're so, you know, holy now. You know, you think you're so righteous now. Okay. I'm like, you know, you're just going to hell then. Or, you know, whatever, you know. I don't care. You're going to hell, you know. I'm not even going to try to reach you because you're just too lost. And I just walked away, and I just closed the door to that, and I missed out on a relationship, an opportunity to build a relationship. I'm like, years later, I'm like, yeah, I was wrong for that, and you know, I should have been more gracious, more loving. But a lot of times that's the enthusiasm of a new believer. Sometimes it's just enthusiasm of a new believer to, you know, we just finding out about hell and heaven, and we just, oh, I'm free from that. I'm not. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. You know, and we just, you know, sometimes you make fun of people like that. Huh? You're going to hell. No, no. Our job is to, you know, point them to the one who can save them from that. Hell isn't this fun place, you know. It's a real literal place of separation from God. None of his beauty, none of his majesty, nothing. So use your secular jobs. Use those to reach people. You know, King David stayed a shepherd for years until he was king. You know, he thrived in that ministry. He didn't just say, okay, I know I'm, you know, called, I'm anointed, you know, okay. You know, I'm done with y'all sheep, you know, y'all just take care of yourselves. I got other things to do. I got God things to do. Let me just go over there and hang out with the Peter Cool crowd. Let me hang out with the people who's, you know, super spiritual, right? No, he stayed in there and he said, all is the Lord's, right? I'm honoring him by this. I'm honoring him in this job that I'm at. You can honor him whatever job you're at, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, I like fast food, Arby's, I'm joking, all of these jobs, whatever they are, no secular jobs, no sacred job, ministry is ministry, and our ministry is to be the light in the darkness to those people. You know, you find out, and trust me, if somebody out there ever gave up on me, I wouldn't be where I am now. If somebody just said, that Donovan, yeah, right, he's not gonna... Like I said, if I can look at my old self, me a couple years, a few years ago, I would say I'm a pastor. Okay, yeah, right. Preaching to people? Yeah, right. I barely go to church. Why would I do that? Why would I do something like that? But somebody took the time. They took the time out of their busiest day. They didn't just, when they saw me waving, they didn't just hurry and drive by faster and say, oh, they don't see me. Let me just keep driving. Or when I tried to, you know, be a relationship with them, they said, oh, no, you're just too bad. You're that thug kid. You know, we don't want you in our church because you sag your pants. We don't want you in church because you smell like weed smoke. But you don't want you in your church because, you know, I smell booze on your breath. No. So never say never. Never let the fear of failure stop what God has planned for you. So if you're wondering if God loves you, or if God even has a plan for you, or is willing to use you and wants to use you. Just say these words. You know, when the haters and the doubters and the skeptics try to come and whisper in your ear, remember you used to do that over there. Donovan, will you see how long this pastor thing lasts? Okay. Because I remember what you did. One time my brother said to me, okay, I remember all the stuff you did. We used to do some stuff together, and we did. Back then, that was my past. I'm not that anymore. We're supposed to show people that we're different, that we're changed. Not better than nobody, but that we're changed. We're different. You know, God's got a lot of work working on me. Like I said, I'm a mess. That's my wife. Like I said, you can be free to do that. Trust me, yeah, it's okay with me. But don't let the haters and the enemy whisper in your ears that you're never good enough, that you're not good enough, that you're never going to amount to anything. There's always a chance. God chose me, loves me, wants me, and that same is to all of us. Has a purpose for all of us. I'm not just a product of a random chance, but I'm a product of his hands. Created in his image, the God of the universe wants to know me on a personal level. And I can know him back because of what Christ did on the cross for me. I think we all can learn a lot from the patriarch Moses. His life reflects a lot of mine. Yeah, I wasn't technically a murderer, but you know, Jesus said if you hate somebody in your heart, it's like it has the same effects as murder. And then I look back and say, well, you know, that's the famous sin, I guess. Everybody always said, well, I never killed anybody. I never murdered anybody. If you hated anybody in your heart and sometimes wished they were dead, well, even that is a sin. And I did a lot of that. So technically, I am a murderer. When you know, Jesus says, you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. It has the same effects. So I'm like, well, man, well, dang, that's me. I'm messed up then. See, so I can't relate to Moses. How many of us out there can relate to Moses and anybody else in the Bible? This is a beautiful picture of if Moses can change, then there's hope for you and me. Also, look at the life of Saul of Tarsus, which we know as the Apostle Paul. Thank you, the Apostle Paul. He had a past, you know, persecuting Christians. Don't you think he had hate in his heart? Absolutely. Hated Christians. No way. He probably thought just like me. No way I'm going to be no weird Christian. I ain't no way I'm going to be no weirdo Christian like them people over there. Yeah, right. God, you're going to have me preaching and writing half of the New Testament? Most of the New Testament? Yeah, right. I'm Saul of Tarsus. I do what I want. I walk around and do what I want, you know? And we had, that's the kind of attitudes that we had before we knew Christ. You know, they didn't let their past determine their future. They said, never say never. They overcame their fears. We need to do the same thing. We can't move forward unless we put our past in the past, like I said before, and leave it there. You know, you're not a failure. Don't listen to them. You're not a failure. God can fill that empty void. I know, like I said, I know just about my own life. You know, that if these men and women can change and can be forgiven, then so can I. That's the picture of the Bible. It's not to show perfect people that did so much perfect things, and man, you know, I'm nothing, going to be nothing like them perfect people. So, yeah, the Bible ain't for me. No, the Bible showed imperfect people, inconsistent people, but a consistent God. You know, sin after sin after sin after sin. He said, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on you. If I can never say never, then why can't you? So God understands we all, as people, have our issues, our struggles, our addictions. That's the truth for everyone. I encourage you today, church, don't give up. Never say never. Puzzle it just a little bit, one step at a time. Change can be a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to go through the steps, and they are hard. You know, you say, well, those steps are just hard. I can't do that. I want to get to the finished picture. I want to look like this just right away. You're not going to look like this right away. it's going to be hard. It's going to be times where you just want to give up, but don't give up. Never say never. I'm going to still keep pushing through it because it's worth it. Trust me, it's worth it. God won't leave us there forever. No. He wants us to be healed of that, to be redeemed of that more than we do. But it's about obedience, you know. You can't say, God, do this and this, do this, change this, change that. Well, what are you doing for me? You know, what are you doing for me? I'm showing you all my love. What are you doing to show me your love? What are you doing? So it's not overnight. When someone comes to you and says, you're not a Christian, you slept with that person. You're not a Christian. You got drunk just yesterday. Today's Sunday. Oh, see, Saturday, I seen you getting drunk in the club just the other night. So what are you doing here? You know, high as a kite. You can't go to church. I mean, like I said, I've heard that's what really turned people away from church. Just speaking of my own life, you know, like, I would be like, people would, I'm like, man, nobody would want us in their church. You know, we smell too much like, we imagine if we walked in here, everybody would point laughing at us and say, look at those sinners over there. So we just stayed away. We said, and that's why a lot of people do. You know, we got to welcome people. We got to invite people, you know, because God wants to invite them. God wants to change them. God says, like I said, come as you are. It's okay. You know, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to make it at that step right away. You're not going to be the finished puzzle piece right away, but you will get there eventually. Over time, like I said, due time, you will get there because God's working in you. You know, you have new desires. You know, man, I used to go and get drunk, but I don't want to do that anymore. You know, you will start seeing a difference. We can't expect new Christians to come and then they just write, you know, quoting every scripture, you know, which is right off bat. You know, you read today? Use your Bible today? Oh, you're not a Christian. You didn't read your Bible. Look at you. No, we don't. You're called. You're a Christian because God saved you, because God says that you are. You will make it to that and look like that finished puzzle piece if you continue to obey, trust, rely. We can't do perfect, but you know, it's about a heart change. That's the truth. It's about a heart change, and you will have new desires, new hungers, new cravings. You know, a lot of that old you won't be coming back. Some of it may, but you would have matured and been to a maturity level to say, nah, I'm going to pass on that, bro. Sure you want to go to the club tonight? I'm going to pass on that, bro. I'm good. I'm going to just pass on that. Man, you sure, man? These hotties, man, they look so fine. I'm going to pass on that, bro. Oh, you lame, you whatever. Okay, I'm lame then. That's okay. You know, that's fine. Because people are inconsistent. All throughout history, like the Bible, they're inconsistent. God is the only one that never changed, that's consistent. You know what? You may call me this, you may call me that, but my God doesn't. So, you know, you're not that person you used to be. Please, please do not listen to Satan when he tells you this, when he tries to tempt you with this. And I'm preaching to myself too, because a lot of times I listen to him. You know, we listen to him, and why? You know, when we know that we're a child of God, that we're saved, that, you know, our sins are covered by the blood. They're covered by the blood. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You're a Christian, so you're new, different. Paul says, you're not perfect. Don't even try to be. Trust me, don't try to be. That's self-righteousness. Don't try to be. But you have new hungers, like I said, new motives to do things. You wake up with a different attitude. You wake up with a different attitude. You know, I'm not going to go off driving, flicking people off when they cut me off. And just, I hate you. I'm going to do some things to you. Get out of my car and do some things to you. We're going to start boxing. You have a new attitude. But like I said, it takes puzzling it piece by piece. Nothing is instant. Nothing is instant. Moses wasn't a murderer. He was forgiven. It wasn't forgotten. It was forgotten in God's eyes. You know, whatever I did, whatever you did in your past is forgiven and forgotten in God's sight. The moment you accept Christ, the moment you open up your heart to him and invite him in and give him that chance, give him that opportunity. You don't believe he can change you? Well, What do you have to lose? I mean, what do you have to lose, really? Trust me, you won't want to go back, you know? You won't want to go back to your old life. So remember, God can use your brokenness, your weakness, oh man, your weakness for his greater purpose, regardless of what you did back then, sometime way, way back then. You know? Who knows? Like I said, with Steph Curry, he, you know what? He might have been all of those things that the critics said he was, but you know what? He didn't care. He relied on God. He said, I'm pointing up. He said, I'm pointing up because my strength doesn't come from me. It comes from him on high. It comes from Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter. I may be weak, a weak player, but you know what? Christ's strength is going to, people are going to look at me and say, man, how he do that? Like, how he do that? Those crazy shots he be doing, how did he do that? I don't get it. He's so, he's no LeBron James. I can't stand LeBron James. No, he's welcome. He's welcome in God's house as well. But yeah, he didn't listen to the haters. He said, I can do whatever. It's not me doing it, you know? It's not me doing it. It's Christ doing it. And that's a beautiful picture of what we all can be. What we all can be. What Christ can do with us. We may be weak, we may be broken, we may be whatever. But you know, I'm not like, God, change me, you know, make me strong so that I can go out and just, you know, oh yeah, Donovan did that. You know, I done led so many people to Christ. I did that. No, to show what God has done. He did it. To boost him up. To brag on him. Don't brag on us. Trust me, you're trying to, you know, pipe yourself up and brag on yourself. You know what, whatever. You know, you're always below. You think you're high, and you may have worldly success and status, but, you know, those things fade away, you know. What's eternal is heaven, is God, seeing Jesus, being with him. You know, Moses was made new. He was made new, and so were you, given a second, third, fourth, fifth, infinity chances. It's many. God didn't say my grace has run out for you. No, it's sufficient. It hasn't run out. My forgiveness hasn't run out for you. It's sufficient. You could have messed up a million, billion, trillion times and walked away from God, whatever. And at that moment, dying moment, say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You think he'll say, nah, I'm okay. My grace ran out for you. Oh, well, just die and go to hell. I don't care about you. My grace ran out. My forgiveness, I done forgave you so many times. Boy, stop it. Quit it. You done. No, God says, you're not done. Even though you may have walked away from me time after time, multiple times, if you open up your heart to me, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. I will give you another chance. My grace is sufficient. It's infinity. It doesn't matter. Because he loves us that much. Worship team, if you can come close us with a prayer. I'll close this with a song, and, you know, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on us. Thank you that you was willing to take a chance even on me. Even me? Why me, Lord? Why me? But even me, you was willing to take a chance and say, I forgive that guy. I love that guy. I died for that guy. Lord, help us to open up our hearts to you, Lord. And be open and willing and able to be used by you. Lord, we love you, Lord. We just pray that you would do a work in us and that this message, Lord, that you have for us today, that we'll take it and we'll put it to work. We'll put it to practice. Not just let it go in one ear and out the other, but know that we would shema it, obey it, and meditate on it daily, day and night. That we would say when haters come, you know what? You did this in your past. You did that. I say, never say never, because God can do a work. God can change. God is awesome. He loves me. He forgave me. That's what we can say. Whenever Satan tries to come back around the corner and says, I'm back again. It's me again. Say, go away. That's what we can say, Lord, because of you, because of that extent of love that you showed for us. Help us to put it to practice, Lord. Please, please, put it to work, Lord. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we just pray that we go home safely, Lord, and and sound. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.